It's Helping Hand, an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. Thanks for joining us. This week, we are learning about the IHS, a returning guest, Institute for Human Services, one of the leading organizations in the effort to help the homeless in Hawaii, where the United States' most severe homeless crisis per capita exists. Today, we are welcoming spokesperson for IHS, Kimo Carvalho. Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. People in the Honolulu area might have a better idea who IHS is than people around the state. Explain how you guys fit in.
So we are Hawaii's oldest, largest, and probably now the most comprehensive homeless service agency that is focused exclusively on ending and preventing homelessness in Hawaii. There are many providers, and we do partner with more than 80 of them, actually. So we are sort of like the emergency room of the homeless service industry. We are the boots on the ground guys who are developing relationships with clients. We're the safety net when you're in a homeless emergency. You get stabilized, triage, and then from there get connected to all the specialty services that involve all the different nonprofits that I'm sure that you connect with.
And that's Partners in Care is the consortium that you guys are part of.
Correct. We are part of Partners in Care. We do offer the spectrum a lot of different options. So we have emergency shelters, and we are actually diversifying our shelters to be a little bit more specialized. Say you're a homeless person that's being discharged from the hospital. We now have medical respite homes. We have Hale Maliola, the new Sand Island shelter that assists homeless with pets, homeless couples, homeless living in their cars, oftentimes just needing a fast track navigation into housing. We also have a vet home, a respite home for people with addictions that are enrolled in outpatient treatment programs. So we have all these different shelter options now. We have 8 shelter locations, actually, and we've grown quite a bit in the last few years. Our 2 main emergency shelters are actually located in Iwale, the Women and Family Shelter, and then the Sumner Men's Shelter. We have those 2 facilities. We have an employment housing office just next to the Women and Family Shelter. Hale Maliola is at Sand Island. Our respite homes are through Kalihi and Makiki.
The way that you guys are funded?
So 70% of our funding actually comes from government and all 3 levels of government. Then the other 30% is private donations from foundations, corporations, and individuals like you.
The organization's been around for how long?
We actually turned 40 next year. Come a long way. We went from just being primarily meals and shelter programs. So we now have this diverse array of homeless services. So we have employment support programs, housing support programs, case managers. Case managers are like life coaches. They help navigate you through this complex bureaucratic system, get you connected to social services, healthcare services. We have healthcare. We have health clinics on site. We have daily meal steal. We actually still also have food drop centers. All the services in-house necessary to end and prevent anyone's homeless situation.
And when it started, it was designed for homelessness in 1978.
Exactly. I think Father Claude Dutille, our philosophy and mission was connect with other people that are experiencing the same trauma, grief, and loss like yourself. And by connecting with them and developing a relationship, just breaking bread, literally sharing a meal and getting to know each other, and together as a community, they can really get out of their homeless situation together. Just to put some context, I think really what's changed in the last 40 years is there's been an evolution of homelessness. So the type of homeless person that we were dealing with 40 years ago might have been somebody who would get high on marijuana and come to sleep on our beaches and just want to chill out, but they oftentimes could actually get out of homelessness quicker. And today we've had this convergence of so many different trends. So we've lost 40,000 affordable housing units in the last 3 decades, ICE epidemic, COFA, migration of Micronesians that travel here under the Compact Active Free Association. We have a mental health institution that has just been dismantled, poor discharge planning from the hospitals and public safety. And so all these convergence of trends that have just come together, it has just created a crisis. But until you prevent more people from falling into the system than we can move out, you're still going to see a crisis and those numbers will still continue to grow.
And it's a delicate, difficult area when it comes to mental health.
Right. Back in the day, we were able to civilly commit them. Mm-hmm. We treated them. At the time, the meds were not really as great as they are today. The pendulum has swung so much to the right. We've now given them so much human rights that they can now actually be mentally ill on the streets, not knowing that they're sick, and continue to refuse treatment. And it's not until they commit a crime or they do harm to others or themselves do we actually do something about it. And that's not right because they don't know they're sick.
Right.
So, Dave, you know, the thing about that population, though, is we continue to go to government and we continue to advocate for new laws and new policies that do allow us to intervene. And so we did go to the ledge and we have a new option available. It's called assisted community treatment, where we can go to family court and get a court order to actually take a psychiatrist and an outreach team out into the field and treat someone who is mentally ill to the point where they actually understand that they are homeless and on the streets. And at that point, they actually do make the decision to say, you know, I didn't even know this. So yes, I want to go into housing. I want to get off the streets. We're talking people who have been homeless for 2-3 decades. It's so sad because when they get off the streets, they don't even realize that their whole lives have passed them by. Their friends are gone. Careers, it's no longer an opportunity. And we have to watch out that they're not going to become too depressed and revert back to homelessness or drugs or alcohol, but hopefully transition them back into the community. And we as a community need to be receiving of them and show them that we are welcoming and loving and able to help them assimilate back into the society.
And one final question before we get into how we can help you guys.
Sure.
There's been this perception, it really depends on which homeless service provider you talk to, because as you've pointed out, there are different demographics of homeless, and some homeless service providers deal with a different demographic and a different sort of reality of where they come from. Sometimes you'll hear this, they came from somewhere else, they should go home. The percentage of the folks that you guys deal with at IHS, how many of them are not from Hawaii?
It's less than 10% of our overall homeless population here on Oahu is recent arrivals. We're talking less than a year. So less than 10%.
The other night I was walking home, I guess it was the ABC store. There was a homeless woman sort of camped in the store, pleading with the staff there, "I'm a homeless vet. I need help." The staff member, she's like, "I don't know what to do," or something. I said, "Well, she called IHS." She's like, "'Cause this person needs help. And tell them where your store is, and hopefully they'll send somebody down here."
And that's exactly what we do. You know, if we get a phone call from a business owner like that, that is exactly what our homeless outreach team does. They go out to meet you where you are. They go out into the streets, and we cannot know where to go find people unless the community right. tells us where they are. And just that intelligence of this specific store and doorway at this specific yeah. time in this community is enough for us to say, okay, we're going to get our vehicle and a team and we're going to go.
Of all the things that you could ask for, people can give you money, donate some real estate, be on your board, free medical help, supplies, food.
For our homeless community who's listening, we ask that they trust us and they engage in options and solutions and opportunities. And if there's options that don't work for them, talk to us about them. Ask us how we can help you. That's really all we want to do. And then for the community at large, I could ask for two things. One, because we talked about it earlier, refer homeless people that you know. If you tell us where they are, who they are, that handoff could make all the difference in their lives. And we encourage the community to not offer them free resources on the streets because it actually sustains their homelessness. Instead, work with us and channel your compassion into more responsible giving habits right. that allow us to really get them motivated to come off the streets. And the second thing for the community at large is to partner with us. We offer opportunities to collaborate, but if there's opportunities that others see and options that we should consider as IHS, we just want to partner. It's a community problem and a community crisis, and it's going to take a community to solve this. So those are my two asks for the community at large. And then for the homeless clients, we really just want to figure out more ways to work with you and develop that trust and really help you get off the streets and into housing. That's what's going to end your homelessness is housing. We really need housing.
24 hours a day, if somebody runs into a homeless person in crisis, should they call 447-2800?
Absolutely. We are a 24/7 emergency shelter. That is one of the three portals to access services, or we can send an outreach team to meet you the next day or offer you any solutions or options right there. That phone number, our email, info@ihs-hawaii.org. Our staff are trained to actually triage those calls or the emails so that we're connecting them with the right department.
So that's one of the important things about this is call. When you see a homeless person in crisis, if you can, call IHS. It's 808-447-2800, ihshawaii.org, info@ihs-hawaii.org. All their contact information, the full interview, the radio feature, all of our other Helping Hand segments at hawaiipublicradio.org.
I'm sure especially the listeners who are listening right now, they're listening because they want to figure out how to engage. What I encourage the community to do is just get educated on the issue. Everyone has a role, and I think that's really where it starts. You can become educated by volunteering, by calling me and having this dialogue on a one-on-one basis, touring IHS.
And you have a lot of volunteer opportunities.
Absolutely. All those different departments that I mentioned, they all require volunteers. And we're built on a volunteer network, so we're really trying to get more.
And you're also volunteering when you pick up the phone to call them when you see a person in crisis or whatever.
Absolutely. That's the helping hand.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. Kimo Carvalho, spokesperson for the Institute for Human Services, IHS, legendary name in the islands for doing good. It's like one of these huge rock brands that sometimes we have on the show and you think, wow, that's a huge name. IHS, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.